youth loan Wellington, almost 50 years old. So it celebrated its 50th year, I think, in about 2021. And over that time, its work has been, first of all, engaging young people and the wider community, training them really well, and then being part of the national response to provide the youth helpline, which is much more than a helpline these days, with text and web chat and a whole lot of other ways of supporting predominantly young people, but also families that are struggling. Youthline Wellington, it's always been a struggle financially. It does not receive government funding. So it gets support from local trusts, from council, from individuals. And the environment is tough. It's a hard environment to provide a community-based service. And it's got tougher. And so Wellington Youthline decided that it wanted to just let the world know about its struggles, and that, you know, if we want iconic services that really add value to the community needs to know when we're struggling.
So you're saying Youthline isn't funded by government. Does that include local government?
So it does get funding from the local government, but it's safe to say that the funding has got harder to get, and it's got less over the years. So, but central government hasn't funded. I mean, central government really does not fund the youth helpline, other than there's around about $100,000 worth of funding across the country to support the provision of a service that costs about $1 million to provide. So it is has always been about a whole raft of partners that make it happen, from individuals to trusts to corporates to other businesses to local government. It really is a village approach to making sure that the young people are supported in their sort of in their challenges, both the normal day-to-day challenges, but also some of the most darkest things that young people have to work through. And I often get the sense sometimes that the struggle for organisations like Youthline reflects the struggles for young people. That at times you can feel quite marginalised and disconnected, and there's a lot of stuff happening by the big people in the world, but it's really hard to get the few cents that you need to be able to do the wonderful work that's done.
Yeah, so one of the worst teen suicide and depression rates in the world. So you're saying that reflects on some of the worst funding for these appropriate services.
It is, I think, maybe not a disconnect that, the value that is placed on community and community response rather than, a people in white coats response. I mean, I say that sort of facetiously, but, there's something about how do you build healthy communities, and we know if communities are healthy and young people are engaged, they're much more likely to bounce back when there's adversity. So, what part of building a healthy community is to ensure that there are really iconic community spaces and services to support young people and involve young people, which is very different to just a straight treatment delivery where, young people have a problem, we have to fix it. And what we're trying to do is not only be there when there is a problem, but actually support young people to be part of the solution. And it is how we believe you build a healthy community. In some ways, what we're trying to achieve is that young people get good help, feel okay about asking for help, know where to go, but also can be involved as part of the solution, can be there to support friends when they're distressed, but also can get involved in the community and make a difference now.
Regarding a change in government, do you expect any gain in central government funding?
So, the environment is key to everything, really. The environment young people grow up, the environment that the community services work in. We have a Minister of Health that was a Youthline volunteer once. So we're very hopeful that the environment may get gentler to do business and to do their work in. So, and we know it's early days, and we're not, you know, we're doing what we need to do to make sure that not only are we there for young people, but young people across the country can actually get involved and make a difference. But we're very hopeful that the environment will get gentler. It's been a very hard environment to do our work in over the last few years.
So how might individuals get involved and help out Youthline Wellington?
So there's a few ways. One is that if you're interested in actually really getting involved and undertaking the training, they're always looking for good people, and they do training a couple of times a year. It's intensive, so you know it's not, you can't just walk in off the street and do the work. You have to go through quite a journey. So that's one way. Another way is to make sure that that people take what we do and look out and be aware and alongside young people and those who need it. And another way, of course, is that every dollar keeps the service going for a minute. So if people want to make a donation to support Youthline Wellington, $10 keeps the service going for 10 minutes, you know, $100, 100 minutes. That is really powerful. You know, just to be there is so powerful. It's sort of paradoxical. If you're there when you're needed, then you can do stuff. If you're not, of course, the people are then struggling in a vacuum.
What are the costs associated with running Youthline Wellington? I understand you have two paid staff.
That's right. So first of all, you have the physical costs. So, you know, if you're doing a helpline or the text or the web chat or the therapy, all that stuff that we do, you've got to have a contact centre. So there's the rental cost. Secondly, there is the IT costs. And, you know, Youthline across the country, we spend an awful lot of money on, you know, phones, on connections, on texts. So there's the technology cost. Then there is, as I said, if you want to actually be part of the solution and actually get involved, there's a long journey. There's a substantial amount of training. And if you've got a workforce of, you know, 80 people, which they have, of 80 volunteers, then you've got to have a space for them to be able to meet and do their training, do their supervision. You do the work on the line. You connect with a group of peers. You have a professional come in and provide the supervision support. And then there are the wages of the two staff that are there to support the teams, but also reach out into the community and involve young people in various activities. So that's what makes up. It's a very lean machine, really, for the sheer amount of work that they do. You know, if you're going to have well-resourced and well-supported people doing skillful work, then there's all the associated training and development costs, which are so essential.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Look, it's just that time of year where the best support, much better than any support that a service can provide, is those that we provide each other and those around us. So look out for people, be gentle, listen. Listening is incredible, powerful action. And then if you do need help, probably the easiest one to remember is that our text is 234. It's a free text, and so if you need to connect or just to give us a ring, and you know, it's easy to look on the website and you'll see all our details there. But the most important thing is that we look out for each other.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.